holding on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on topics of Gneva and Gzela, the Mishnah says, Hamaku Kelev Usfarav Biyat Acher. If a person recognizes his own Kelim or his own Sfarim in somebody else's hands, now he's claiming that they were stolen and that he didn't yet have Yush. Meanwhile, the other guy might well say that I bought them legitimately. The Yotza lo shem Gneva Be'ir, and there's a report going around in the city that he, in fact, has been robbed, that things have, in fact, been stolen from him. So he's entitled to them back. Yeshava lo lekeach kamenosan v'yito. So therefore, the lekeach would swear to him how much he paid for them, and then the owner can get them back. So he does have a claim to get them back because he's saying, based on the report that he was robbed, that these are in fact stolen goods, and therefore, as we're going to see in the Gemara, he does have the right to get them back. However, he would have to pay for them because, after all, the other guy legitimately paid for them. We'll see in the Gemara about something called Takonas Ashuk, that the Chachamim made a rule in order to make it, because you want people to be able to buy and sell things without having to be concerned all the time. Yeah, but this is what I'm buying might be stolen goods without me knowing it, and then I'm going to have to forfeit it. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say that he is entitled to compensation from the owner rather than having to go to the Ganav himself and get compensation from him. So we'll see about that in the Gemara. So first the owner has to swear that there in fact is, first the lekeach has to swear how much he paid, and then he can collect that from the owner, and the owner gets back his kelim with svarim. V'im lav, and if not, if there's no shame gneva beir, loy kol hemenu, then we don't believe the balabas to say that it's stolen goods. Shani oimer mochram achav lochan zehemenu, because it's equally possible that he sold them legitimately, and the other guy bought them legitimately. So therefore, then we wouldn't even make the other guy take a shvua. If he wants his things back, then he's going to have to pay for them. Then he's going to have to pay for them whatever the other guy claims, whatever the other guy wants for them, because we have to consider that they may well be legitimately his. There is a point that's made over here. Tosfos makes a point over here that, first of all, obviously, again, we are talking about before Yirsh. If it was after Yirsh, there's already Yirsh and Shinu Rishus, the other guy wouldn't be obligated to return it at all. Tosfos goes on to say that the reason why we're mentioning Sforim here, particularly, why not just say Kalev, why mention Kalev with Sforim, is because Sforim, a person is much less likely to have Yirsh on. If the thieves were Goyim, he's certainly not Miyayish, because a Goy, what's he going to do with these Sforim? Most likely he's going to go find a Yid to sell them to. And more to the point, even with Kalim, Tosfos points out, we learned on Amud Aleph, we learned yesterday, that the Goyim don't require the same standards of evidence in their courts as Lahavdo we do in ours, and therefore the Yid might have less Yush, and all the more so with Sfarim, where he knows they're going to end up by a Yid. So we are talking about before Yush, and we're saying, though, that he's entitled to get reimbursed by the owner, because, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Takonas Ashuk. There is more discussion about this as well. Why can't the guy who has these things have a migui, basically, why don't we say actually the other way around? The owner should, the original owner, the person who's claiming them, should say that I have a migui. He could claim that I lent them out in the first place. So Rashi elsewhere explains actually that we're not talking about all svarim over here. We're talking about the type of svarim that are not regularly used, and therefore, in fact, people regularly lend them out, as opposed to so in other words, there's a difference between svarim that are regularly lent out and ones that are not, or difference being that we're talking about a person who's not known to regularly lend out his things. And there's other answers as well. So the Gemara says, "V'chiyotza l'shem gneva be'ir, my havi." So what if there's a report in town that he was robbed? Who, after all, shouldn't we have to be concerned that he himself sold them and they were never, they were there? Yeah, there's a rumor that they were stolen. That doesn't mean that rumor is true. But who knew? On the contrary, he may be the one spreading that rumor. He may be the one claiming to his friends, where then his friends will tell other friends, etc. And pretty soon it'll be talked about in town that Pliny has been robbed. And really, he wasn't robbed at all. Really, he just wants an excuse to be able to undo the sale that he did. So the answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab. It's not just talking about there's a coil. You're talking about that there were people in his house, the Omad staying over, let's say, the Omad vehifkin balayla, and all of a sudden one night he gets up and starts crying out in the streets, the Omad nignavu kelai, and he says that there, and he starts yelling out, my kelim was stolen. So now, so we're not talking about Stam in the middle of the day, he's talking with his friends. We're talking about that actually right there in the middle of the night, he starts raising an alarm. On the contrary, all the more so, he might have found himself an excuse to do that, to claim that he wants to be able to claim that things were stolen from him in order to be able to then change his mind and get his items back at the original price. So what makes us say we should believe him? This, by the way, might be an example of the kind of thing that the Gemara was talking about on Amud Aleph, where the Jewish based in is going to do things one way, and a Goyish court, Lahavdil, might do things differently. A Goyish court might not think into it this far. They might say, look, you know, the guy's raising an alarm in the middle of the night. He must be true. Whereas our Bate Dinim are going to be more careful about it, because we know how people are likely to to try to take advantage of things and try to make up stories and whatever. So how does that give him the right to demand back his things from the other person? So the answer is Rav Kahana Masayim b'Mishmei de Rav. So Rav Kahana continues explaining in the name of Rav. We're not just Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Rav that we're talking about that people were staying in his house and then he started crying out at night. Rav Kahana says Rav had given more detail. There's actually a tunnel dug out of his house, so they escaped through the tunnel. And the people who were staying overnight in his house had gone out. And there were bags, bundles of kelim on their shoulders, and similarly svarim. And everybody's saying, look, Pliny's kelim was stolen. So now he has a valid, now when that rumor is going around town that in fact he was robbed, then there's good reason for it, because now we have strong, now we see there's a hole dug in the side of his house, etc. So now we can say that what he's saying, that he was robbed, really is true. Hagoyes Agro has a slightly different gusa over here. Instead of Hakol Omrim Nignavu Kelim Shel Pliny, instead of everybody says that these kelim were that everybody was saying that Pliny's kelim was stolen. In fact, it's the people are saying, everybody's saying, these are Pliny's kelim. People can actually see people running out of there, and they say, hey, those are Pliny's kelim. So the Gemara asks, "V'duma kelim havu svarim lehavu?" Still, he's claiming both kelim and svarim. Maybe only kelim was stolen, svarim were not. And the answer is, "Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Biechner Kanda Kami Nami Svarim." Fine, they're saying kelim and svarim. Still, the leifu shduma zutri v'katoyin Rav Rabbi. Still, what if it was small kelim stolen from him, and now he's claiming that it was big ones, and now again, so he sees. So let's say, for example, a small lamp, let's say, was stolen from him. He meanwhile sees a lamp that somebody else has, and he says, "Hey, that's my lamp." And really, because he wants to be able to get it, he wants to be able to force the other guy to give him his big lamp, and he'll pay him for it. And the answer is Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Dekami Sefer Pliny or Pliny. We're talking about that people actually identify the Sfarim by name. Still, the Duma Havu Atiki V'Katoin Chadzi. Still, you could have that he had old Svarim, and now he's falsely claiming that there's new ones. And the answer is Amar Rav Kegon De Amri Halolu Kalev Shel Pliny Halolu Svarim Shel Pliny. We're talking about not just that people are saying that this guy was robbed. They're actually identifying and saying that these are Pliny's Kalim and these are Pliny's Svarim. So in other words, and I so again, according to Agoris Agro, the Gemara hasn't really changed its mind all along. It was saying that people recognize the kalim. So now the Gemara has clarified that that's what it means. They recognize these are the actual kalim, And therefore, so now there's no concern that, for example, he's claiming falsely a keli that didn't belong to him because people actually recognized the actual kelim that these robbers were carrying, and therefore now he has a strong claim to actually get them back. So the Gemara asks, still, miyomer Rab Achi, still did Rab say that these people would be responsible to that we would say that they that. So what do we have? In other words, we're saying that the person who ended up buying them from the ganav has not really been koina them, because the ganav himself wasn't koina them yet. The owner didn't have yush. So therefore, so when he sells it to somebody else, it's also not considered a valid sale. Therefore, the owner has the right to get them back, provided that he reimburses them again for because of takonas ashuk, as we're going to talk about later. The question is, did Rav really say that? Doesn't Rav himself say that actually, in a certain sense, the Gazlan who actually goes, who's Baba Machteris, who tunnels into a house and robs like that, is actually coining the things that he stole? Rav says that if a person is Baba Machteris, a person tunnels into a house to steal. Now, we know the Torah says that the Balabas is allowed to kill him, Ein Loi Domim, because he's coming on Iske Nefoshes, because he knows that he's ready to kill if the Balabas stands up against him. So if a person comes by Machteris, for Noto Kalim V'yotza, and he takes Kalim and he goes out, Potter, then he's actually Potter from having to return them. My time at the dummy Kananhu, because he was coining them with his own blood. Because when he stole them, so it's kind of like Kamle B'Dinabamine. It's basically another application of Kamle B'Dinabamine, because he's Chayav Misa, because in principle the Balabas would have been allowed to kill him. Therefore, now he can't be Chayav. To pay the thing back.
Above Machteris is a different case than
so here
guests
we're talking,
or Shabbos.
So here we're talking about, it's true, they were guests, but then they tunneled out and left. But still, apparently the Gemara is assuming.
So the above Machteris, even they were guests?
So apparently the Gemara is assuming that even though they were guests, even though they came in legitimately, since when they're leaving, they have in mind, we're tunneling through the wall. If the Balabas finds us and then confronts us. So one second. So the Gemara is saying, Rab is saying that they're potter. Now, the fact is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it discusses this, brings an opinion of Rava that says that actually it's true they would be potter from paying, but only when the object itself no longer exists. So if they ate it or they whatever, then they would be potter from paying the value on the basis of what Rav is saying. But if the actual item exists, then they still have to return it. Here the Gemara is asking, within Rav's own opinion over there, who doesn't draw that distinction. Rav himself says they'd be potter in either case. So the question is, granted we have a report in the city that he was robbed. Granted we have people who actually saw people running out of the house carrying kalim, etc. But the fact is that those gazlonim were actually koinet, because those ganovim were actually koinet based on what Rav is saying. So how now does the Balabas have the ability to go to the people who bought it from them and demand it back and then demand it back?
Okay.
And the answer is the distinction that you made. Hanimila de Kanonu, but Baba Machteris. The difference is that there's a difference whether he comes by Machteris when he tunnels into the house in the first place. De Meikra Mosa Nafshalaktola, where to begin with he's Moisa Nefesh in a negative way, that he's ready to be killed, that he's ready to kill or be killed and take whatever he wants. So he's the kind who's coined the things with Gneva. Avalhani, but these people, Kivin Dalei Mosor Nafshayo Laktala, here now, so in the Habam, the Gemara was understanding that it's the same thing, whether they tunneled into the house, or whether, like you said, they were Shabbos guests, and then they left through a tunnel. Here the Gemara is saying, no, there is actually a difference. They didn't come to begin with to kill, they came originally as guests. Loi, so therefore the same rule doesn't apply. The Balabas would not have the right to kill them if he confronts them, because we don't assume that they came al iske nefoshes, because the very fact that they came to begin with and posed as guests means that they're afraid, means they're not so ready to go and then attack the homeowner, to attack the Balabas. Therefore, we don't say that they were koina anything. So therefore, we're back to that, since the owner wasn't miyayish yet, then therefore he's entitled to them back, whether from the Ganovim or from the people that the Ganovim sold to. And therefore, that brings us to our Mishnah, that he is entitled to take the guy to Beis Din and get back his things. However, the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Lo shonu ela balabaisa osi limko kalev. This detail that we need. So what do we have so far? So Rab is saying, based on everything that we said so far, that you need a very, very detailed report in order for the rules of our Mishnah to apply. You actually need people to be saying, look at that, there's a hole tunneled out of this guy's house, and we actually saw people going out with Kalim and Sfarim, and we recognize that these are the very Kalim and these are the very same Kalim and the very same Sfarim that this guy is claiming. Now, Rava says, though, that Lo Shanu, this that needs to be this detailed, is only Ela Balabais also Limko Caleb. Only when I was a Balabas who often sells his Caleb, often sells his personal items to raise money or whatever. So now there's a concern that he might have actually sold them, and now he wants to claim that they were stolen in order to get them back. So therefore, we have to have such a detailed report in order to counteract that. But when you have a balabas who's not been known in the past to sell his kalim, then Rava says the report doesn't have to be quite so detailed. It would be enough, for example, that they found that there was a tunnel dug out of his house, and people say that his kalim and sforim was stolen. We don't have to have that they recognize these particularly, that they recognize this particular keli. And so Rashi says they don't have to say safe or plainy or plainy, implying, in other words, Rashi is saying they do have to, with the rest of the report still has to be the same, regardless, but at least they don't have to recognize and say that it was this particular safer and that particular safer. Agos HaGra brings that the Rambam holds that it means that it's actually as far as all of that. Everything that Rav was saying about the detailed report would not apply as far as when he's not also limker as Caleb. Then you have that it's enough that he claims that it was stolen, because we don't know this person to regularly have been selling his things. So the question is why the Duma Itzrich Lazuzi Vizabin, even a person who doesn't regularly sell his things, it might happen that punked one time he needed money and so he sold them. So Ravashi says, okay, but the fact is there is a shame gneva beir, and that together with everything that went on so far. So the fact, in other words, so Ravashi is saying in this case, because there was a shame gneva beir, then therefore, and he's not also limkeres kalim. This person does not regularly sell his kalim. Therefore, we have very strong reason to assume that he is telling the truth and that these items were actually stolen from him. As opposed to, if we know that this is a person who regularly sells his things, then that's not good enough, because he might be falsely claiming that they were stolen in order to get his things back. So therefore, then we require the actual very detailed report that Rav was describing over there. So the Rambam summarizes it when he brings the halacha. He brings, if he's not also limker as Caleb, then, and there's a shame gneva, then that's enough. Or if he's also limker and he points out also, the Rambam explains also, you can have these kalim are asuyan lahashal or haskir. These are things that are regularly lent out or rented out. So now he has a very strong claim. They're in somebody else's hands, and I never rented or lent them out to him. So therefore, then the other guy would have to swear. If there are things that if also limkeres kalim, if the owner regularly sells personal effects of it, and it's not dvarim asuyan lahashal or haskir, then you're going to have the very detailed report that Rav was describing. The Ravid, in fact, disagrees about the case where the Dvorim Asurim Lahashal or Hasker, and points out that in that case you don't need a shame gneva. Then all you have to have is the shame gneva will help. The other guy doesn't have then all that'll help is the balabas now doesn't have to swear that he didn't rent them out, etc., because they're Dvorim Asurim Lahashal or Hasker. So you have some discussion about the exact parameters of this halacha, but the point is there is the case, like the Mishnah is saying, where he is entitled to get his things back. Okay, so now let's talk about this din more. Itmar ganav u'mocher. What if a ganav stole something and sold it to somebody else? Now, by the way, we're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about you're not allowed to. If you know that something is stolen, you're not allowed to buy it from the ganav, because that encourages the ganav to steal again. After all, a ganav, usually when he steals something, it's not that he needs it for himself or he wants it for himself. Most of the time, it's that he wants to fence it. He wants to resell it to somebody else and get the money. So therefore, if nobody buys from him, then that gives it, that discourages him from stealing. So we're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta that you're not allowed to. But nevertheless, here we're talking about somebody did. Which you could have, of course. You know, you can have different cases. You can have where you didn't even know the guy was a ganav in the first place, as the Gemara is going to talk about further on. Anyway, so ganav, a person stole, a ganav a mocha, a person stole something and sold it to somebody else. V'achaka hukar a ganav, later on we recognized that he was a ganav, but later on we arrested the ganav, and now the owner wants his thing back. So who does he have to go to get reimbursed? So Rab Mishmeid Rabchi Amahadini Madrishin, Rab Yechan Mishmeid Rabyanu Amahadini Mashain. So you have Machloikas. Does he have to go and take the Ganav to Beis Din? Hadini Madrishin would be, in other words, that would be that if he wants to be reimbursed, he needs to take that Ganav to Beis Din. If he takes the other guy to Beis Din, the one who bought the thing, then he's not his Baal Din. The other guy can say, I'm not required to go to a Din Torah with you because I didn't do anything with you. If you want it back from me, then go ahead and pay. Rather than saying, even though Hukar Aganav, even though now he knows that he bought it from Aganav, we're not going to say, well, you have to return it. And then you, the buyer, are going to have to go bring the Ganav to a Din Torah to get reimbursed for what you paid him for it. No, it's not going to be that way, says Rav in the name of Rav Chia. On the other hand, Rav Yechanan is saying in the name of Rav Yana, Hadinim Asheni, that no, the Baal HaBos can go directly to the Lekeach and then require him to give back the Kalim without paying. And then the Lekeach will take the Ganav to Beis Din to get reimbursed. So Omer Rabbi Yosef, Veloy Pligi. So Rabbi Yosef says they're not actually Loy Pligi. They're not actually arguing. Kan lifnei yush, hadinim asheni, kan ma'achal yush, hadinim arishin. It depends whether we're talking about before or after yush. Before yush, then yes, he would have the right to go and take the second one to a Din Torah, because after all, it belongs to him, and he wasn't yet miyash, and therefore... Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara the point of Takonas Ashuk, but that's going to be Takonas Ashuk again means you want to make people willing to buy things without having to constantly be concerned. It might be stolen. It might be stolen goods, and they're going to have to give it back for free. But here, once Hukar Aganav, once we found the Ganav, then the Lekeach is not in such a bad way. If he had bought something and he doesn't know whether the... So the case of our Mishnah, in other words, is where... It's known in town that Reuven was robbed. He goes and finds his Caleb and Sfarim in Levi's hands, and he recognizes them with all of the conditions that we said before. And he says to Levi, hey, those are my Caleb and Sfarim. You must have, the guy you bought them from stole them from me. So then we're saying that Levi is entitled to, so Levi does have to give them back, but he does have, but Reuven does have to swear that, or rather, Levi has to swear how much he paid for them, and that he's entitled to reimbursement for that. Here we're talking about Hukar Aganav. Here we're talking about, we find out who the Ganav was. We know that it was Shimon, and therefore, so now Levi is not stuck. If he gives back the things for free to Reuven, then he's not stuck. He's able to take Shimon to Beis Din and get reimbursed for what he bought from him that was stolen. So Rabbi Yosef is saying that if before Yush had Dinim Asheni, then he would be entitled to take Levi, Reuven would be entitled to take Levi to Beis Din and get back his items for free. And then if Levi wants money for them, because after all he paid money, then he's going to go to Shimon, from whom he bought it from in the first place.
Why does he have to take him to Beis Din? I can just get the
money. Well, obviously, if he's willing to pay without Beis Din, then there's no problem. But we're talking about if Levi is saying, what are you talking about, Reuven? I bought these things fair and square. What do you want from me? So then...
But the other day, he says, just pay him back, and then you go to Beis Din.
Again, if he's willing to do that, then fine. But if not, then this is what Beis Din is for. Anyway. So, but kan la'achal yiyush hadinim arishin, as opposed to if Reuven had had yiyush, then hadinim arishin, then he would have to, then since he was already miyash, so therefore, so, and Rashi explains, we're talking about whether he bought it from the ganav before or after the owner's yush. So if Reuven was not yet miyash when Levi bought it from Shimon, then he has the right to go to Levi. But if by the time Levi bought it from Shimon, Reuven had already been Miyash, then Hadim Rishon, then if Reuven wants his thing back, is going to have to go to the first one. He's going to have to go to the Ganav because the Lekeach already bought the thing. He already has Yush and Shinu Rishus. So he owns it. He may not even be required to give it back at all, even for pay, because he can say, look, I bought this fair and square. The Ganav, you want your money back, then you're going to have to go to the Ganav. The Tavayu Isla Hujer of Chista and Rabbi Yosef points out both Rabbi Yochanan, and it comes out that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rav agree with Rav Chista's explanation at the beginning of the Perek, namely when we had the case at the beginning of the Perek where Hagozel Machalos Bonov, somebody stole something and gave it to his children to eat, and we had a case over there related to that. Where a person stole and the owner did not yet have yush, and then he and then somebody else came and ate the thing. So Rav Chista had said, "Rotzim is a goyva, rotzim is a goyva." He has the option. The balabas has the option of going and taking either and collecting either from the original ganav or from the one who ate it. So the same way over here, even though Levi paid the ganav, he's still considered in that sense a gazlan. So where there's no hooker at Ganav, then we have to Hakonas Ashuk, and we're going to allow him to collect from Reuven what he paid for it. But hooker at Ganav, then he has to return it, and then he's going to have to go to get his money back from the Ganav. But again, only if the owner was not Miyayish. If he was Miyayish already, then he can say, I bought it legitimately and it's mine now, and you don't have the right to it back at all. And if you want to be reimbursed for what was stolen for you, go to the Ganav. So both of them hold, like Rav Chista's din, about that case where Shimon stole something and then Levi came and ate the thing, where we said both Shimon and Levi are considered gazlonim and he can collect from either one of them, similarly over here. Omale Abaya Vilek Pligi. So Abaya says, you tell to Rabbi Yosef, you're telling me that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not actually arguing about which one, when they say which one you have to go after, it depends whether Lifnei Yush or La'achav Yush. Consider the case of Matnas Kahuna, the Zroya L'chayayim Bekeva, which have to be given to a Koyin. A Koyin is not Miyayish from them. And Upligi, and yet we find a machlokas about it. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Omalei Mechuli Me'eha Shapora, a person says to a butcher, sell me the kishkis of this cow, Bahoyu Behen Matonis, and included in the kishkis is the keva, is one of the three parts that goes to the Kohen. You have the Zroya L'chayayim the keva, the front right leg, the jaws, and then the jaws and tongue of the animal, and then the keva, the fourth stomach. I've seen in English where somebody translated them in English in a rhyming way as the jaw, the maw, and the paw. Anyway, whatever. The point is here we're talking about it contains the maw, it contains the caper. So then, the buyer has to give that caper to the koyin. He cannot deduct any money. He cannot say to the butcher, yeah, but you sold me something that's not mine because that I'm not going to end up being able to keep because he should realize that that's in there. But on the other hand, if he bought by weight, if he said, I want you to sell me 10 pounds of meat, and included in it as the keva, then no son of the koyin. He still has to give the keva to the koyin. Now he's entitled to go back to the butcher and say, I should have to pay less because you sold me something that's not yours. And Rav says, Loishanu Elisha Shokol Atzmai, that this din would only apply only if he waited out for himself. Only if he there's the second case where we're saying if he bought it by weight, that then, in other words, what do we mean? The Koyan is able to take the keva from him Baal Korchai, and then the Lakeach is going to go to the butcher and demand his money back only when he waited himself. I will shokolai a tabach. But if the butcher waited out for him, hadinim atabach, then the butcher has the right of things in halacha. Now the koyin cannot get it back from the lekeach because now if the koyin wants to go and get reimbursed, he has to go to the butcher. So the point is, in other words, it fits with what Rav is saying over here. The butcher himself is considered like the ganav rishon, the lekeach is considered like ganav sheni, and yet And yet Rav is saying that if the butcher is the one who weighed out the meat, where therefore he was the gazlan by weighing out 10 pounds of meat that included a kaver, which he should have separated out to give to the kohen, then he's the ganav rishon, the lakeach is the ganav sheni, and according to Rav, who does the kohen have to go to? The ganav rishon, the butcher. So Rav does disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, and he does disagree with Rav Chista, and he says that even before Yush, then we would still say Hadinim Arishin, not like Rabbi Yosef is saying. So the answer is, the answer is, we don't mean that he can exclusively go to the butcher. We mean he could either way, he could go to either one. He could go to the butcher, or he could go to the final buyer. So yes, he could go and demand from the buyer, because after all, the buyer had bought it before Yush. Because again, we said that there's no Yush when it comes to the Matnas Kahuna. So that would be exactly what Rav Chista is saying. And the reason why Rav has to tell us, you could think that the Matnas Kahuna, that the whole concept of Zela doesn't happen to them, because they should be considered the Hashem's property wherever they are, and he gives them to the Kohenim. So it shouldn't matter who weighed out the meat. Either way, the Kohen should be able to go only to the buyer, Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rav is telling us that no, Matnas Kahuna, there is a concept of Gezel that applies to them, and therefore the Kohen could instead choose to go to the butcher and demand that the butcher pay him for it. But nevertheless, he could also go to the Lekeach, which is exactly what Rav Chista was saying at the beginning of the Perek, Rotzmi Zegoyver. So it comes out that Rav would actually agree with Rav Chista, and so does Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore, as Rabbi Yosef is saying, And therefore, as Rabbi Yosef is saying, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not actually arguing. Okay, well, the question is, Abaya evidently didn't hold of that distinction, because he was asking the question to Rabbi Yosef. So he evidently understood that it meant that he has to go to the butcher himself. So according to Abaya, what would be the underlying machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is Bidder of Chista, precisely that. Do we accept Rav Chista's din of Gozov Lanisiyashu Abaylim, where Shimon stole something from Reuven, and Reuven had not yet had Yush, and then Levi came and took that thing from Shimon and ate it? According to Rav Chista, both of them are considered Gazlonim, and Reuven can go and take either one of them to Beis Din and get reimbursed. Whereas, of course, so if we say that Rav holds like that, then that would be how Rabbi Yosef explained it. Abaya would explain Rav to be saying not like Rav Chista, and therefore that no, only Hadinim Arishon, that only he, the only one he could go to would be Shimon, the actual thief, and not Levi who took it and ate it. So that was going to Abaya, that would be the machlokes. Reb Zvid says a different answer. You can be talking about that the owner had Yush after it already reached the hands of the Lekeach, after Levi already bought it, but not when it was still in Shimon's hands. So the machloikas would be as follows. Mar sava Yush v'achakach shinu reshus koni. Reb Yochanan holds, when we say that Yush and shinu reshus are koina, it has to be in that order. First Yush, then shinu reshus. So here you have the other way around, because you have Shinu Rishus. First, it was bought by Levi. Only then did the owner have Yush, according to Rav Yechon, and that wouldn't work. Yush v'achakach Shinu Rishus kani, Shinu Rishus v'achakach Yush like kani. So if there was Yush first and then Shinu Rishus, that is a valid kinyan. But here, where there was Shinu Rishus and then Yush, then it's not a valid kinyan. And therefore, Rav Yechon would say that the second one, that Levi is also considered a Gazlan, and therefore Reuven has the right to go directly after Levi. Omar Sava, Loishna, whereas Rav would hold there's no difference, that either way, doesn't matter when the Yush was, either way there's Yush and there's Shinu Rishus, therefore Levi already has full possession of the thing, and the only thing he can do is go after Shimon, the actual thief. Okay. Rapapa gives a different answer. It depends what kind of stolen item we're talking about. When you're talking about a beged, for example, and you're talking about the value, and you're talking about the actual beged itself being returned, everybody is going to agree that it has to be returned to the owner, because it still exists. So it has nothing to do. In other words, it actually says, so it's not a matter of whether there was yush or not. When there was no yush, then everybody would agree. That he can go after the second one who currently owns it. But it depends, says Rapapa. That was Reb Zvidan said that. That Reb Zvidan said it's not a matter that there was Yush. We're talking about there was Yush only after the other guy bought it. Reb Papa says a different answer. Reb Papa is saying that we're talking about it is in fact before Yush. They both agree with Reb Chista that Rotzim is Zegoiva, Rotzim is Zegoiva. He could collect from either one that he wants. So now, when it's a glimmer, when it's a garment, and you're going to be returning the actual item itself to Kula Amalek, Pligi, to Hodra the Mare, everybody's going to agree that the buyer, that Levi, is going to have to return it to Reuven. And then if he wants to get paid for it, he's going to have to go after Shimon. So the machloikas would be when we're talking about that he bought it, he didn't know that it was stolen. So we have takonas ashuk. The chachamim made a takona in order that people should be able to buy and sell. So what we mean is there a concept of so no question, in other words, that he goes to the lekeach and demands his thing back, but the question is, who is the lekeach getting reimbursed from? Rav Meshmed Rav Chiya Omer Hadin Imarishin. So when Rav is saying Hadin Imarishin, he doesn't mean that the Balabas has to go dafka to the Ganev to get reimbursed from him. He means that the Lekeach, Dinah de Lekeach, the Lishkol Zozim Ganev, it means that the Lekeach is gonna have to get his money from the Ganev, also by Takonas Ashuk, meaning that in this kind of case, the Chachamim are not going to make Takonas Ashuk. They're not going to make the Takona that, look, you didn't know when you bought it. So therefore, if Reuven wants it back, he's gonna have to pay you. No, we're gonna tell you, look, you have stolen goods in your hand. So therefore, you have to return it. So you're gonna have to return it. If you want your money back, go to the Ganev. When Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yane, Adine Masheni, he doesn't mean that Reuven has to. It doesn't mean that Reuven is entitled to go after Levi. He means that. He means that the Lekeach can go and demand the money from the Balabais. He can say to the Balabais, he can say to Reuven, you want your thing back. You want your thing back. You're the shady. The Ravid explains it's called the shady in the sense I never saw you before. I only dealt with Shimon until now. You're the second person I'm dealing with about this item. I bought it from Shimon previously. I didn't know that he was a Ganav. Now it turns out you, Levi, are coming and telling me that yes, you want your thing back. So Rabbi Yechanan is going to say you have to pay me for it. For also by takonas ashuk, namely that the Chacham made a takonas ashuk. Even when Hukar a Ganav, even when we know now who the Ganav is, we're not going to make Levi go after Shimon to collect his money. Rather, he can collect his money from Reuven, and then Reuven is going to have to go after Levi if he wants. That's the Takonas Ashuk. Because in other words, that makes it that now in the future, Shimon will be able to buy things without having to every time worry, am I buying stolen goods? And then I'm going to have to give it up myself, and then I'm going to have to go to Schlepp to Basedin to get my money back.
So Levi just gives it back.
So Levi gives it. So according to Rav, Levi gives it directly to Reuven. And then if Levi wants his money, he has to go after Shimon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no, Levi gives it to Reuven, but Reuven has to pay him. So it's similar to our Mishnah, with the difference being, again, in our Mishnah, we didn't have Hukar Aganav. But if Reuven, having paid Shimon for his own item, having paid Levi for his own item, is going to go to Shimon and demand his money back. So the question is, Rav, also by Takonas Ashuk. So you're telling me that when the Ganav is known, then that the Chachamim don't make. So Rashi points out there's another nafkamina over here. The bottom line is that all the money is going to be paid off. So what it is, Rashi points out there's two different ways of looking at it. You can look at it as there's hakonas ashuk. You can also look at it as that that you can say that Levi could say to Reuven, lav bal dvarim didiat, what do you want from me? I had nothing to do with you. I didn't buy this from you. I bought it from Shimon. You have a problem, go after Shimon. But so Rashi explains that what happens, for example, Shimon stole it, and then somebody else, Levi, came and took it without paying for it. So according to Rav Chista, now if we hold according to Rav Chista's din, that Rotzim is a goiva, then the Balabas can say, you know what, let me figure out which one is easier to get to Basedin and which one is easier to get money from, and I'll go after him, as opposed to if we say that Levi could say, La bal dvarim didiat. In this case, Levi didn't actually buy it. He grabbed it from Shimon and ate it. But if he could say, La bal dvarim didiat, then Reuven would have to specifically go after Shimon, even if it's going to be harder to get the money back from Shimon.
Can you do after you said, Bahacha, but Sulu to kind of show it's just Kimifligi. Kimifligi Rav.
Yeah, wait. So
can
wait.
You do that?
We're going to get to it. Yeah. Okay. So the question is that's much further down on the Yomud right now. We're
really
you're talking about Kimifligi. Okay, yeah. So fine, let's go back and repeat that. So the line begins Lamare. So the machlokas is again hukar aganav, and we're talking about the not returning the actual item itself. The glima for sure has to be returned, but what happens as far as takonas ashuk is Levi, the buyer of that glima, entitled to be reimbursed? And well, he is entitled to be well. There is reimbursement going to go on over here, but by who? Rav Mishmeid Rabchi Omar Hadinim Arishin, namely Dinah Lekeach Delishko Zuzi Meganav. Levi, if he wants to collect his money, is going to have to collect it from Shimon the Ganav, who sold it to him. Veloy also by Takonas Ashuk. So we don't apply Takonas Ashuk over there. We say yes, Levi, you bought it. You didn't know that it was stolen. Nevertheless, now that Hukar Ganav, go take Shimon to Beis Din and get the money from him. Namely, Dinah Lekeach Delishko Mebalabayis. The Lekeach is going to have to get his money from the Lekeach can get his money from the Balabayis. The Balabayis Reuven is going to come and say, "I want my clothing back." So Levi can say, "That's fine, but pay me for it." And there is Takonas Ashuk involved over here because we say, "Look, Levi did buy it innocently. He didn't know that it was stolen goods." And therefore, you can't require him to go to Shimon and get his money back, because that would Takonas Ashuk would tell us that that we can't do that, because then that's going to make it very hard for anybody ever buy anything. They're always going to be nervous. What about if it's stolen goods, and then I'm going to have to give it away for free and then go to Beis Din to get my money back, and I don't want to go through that whole rigmarole. So therefore, Takonas Ashuk tells us that Shimon can say that Levi can say to Reuven, "Look, I understand. Fine, you're telling me this was stolen. You want it back. You pay me directly, and that way, at least, I don't have to go and schlep Shimon to Beis Din. And then, if you want your money back, then you take Shimon to Beis Din." So that would be the machlokas, says Rav Papa. So the question is, the sover Rav, like also by Takonas Ashuk. So you're telling me Rav does not hold that in this case Takonas Ashuk applies. We know that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and therefore we can assume when Rav Huna passed in a certain way, then it means that he holds like Rav, and we have a case. Bad Chonon one time stole a garment. Now we had this Chonon Bisha earlier in the Masechta. He had one time punched somebody, and Rav Huna made him pay, for it. And then he punched the guy again, whatever. But this guy was known to be a bad character. And he a gun of glima, he stole a garment, Vizabna, and he sold it to somebody else. Also a kamed Rav Huna. So the case came to Rav Huna. Omle lahu gavra zil shori avitach. And he tells the guy, go release your mashkin. In other words, what he does is he says to the nigzel, to the original owner, Reuven, in our example, go ahead, go pay the guy that Chonon sold it to, which is Levi. So go pay him for it. So we see that Rav Huna is saying that even Takonas, even Hukar Aganav, we know who the Ganav is. In this case, Shimon is this Chonon Bisha. And still Rav Huna is saying to Reuven that if you want your item back from Levi, you have to pay Levi for it. So it's not a matter of, so we see that even when Hukar Aganav, also by Takonas Ashuk, we don't make Levi have to give it back for free to Reuven and then take Chonon Bisha to Beis Din. Rather, he gets his money back on the spot. And we can assume that Rav Huna is following Rav's opinion in that. Zil Shori Avitach, go and release your mashkin. In other words, you want your item back, then you're going to have to pay for it.
Same to the owner.
To the owner, yeah. So the answer is shiny Chonon Bisha. The difference is with Chonon Bisha, given to Lekali Shalumi Mine, you're not going to be able to get paid back from him. Kaloi Hukar Dami. So therefore, it's like as if the Ganav had not been recognized. In other words, there's no question if Loi Hukar Ganav that also by Takonas Ashuk, because otherwise it would be impossible for anybody to buy anything, because they're going to say, I don't even know who I bought it from. How am I going to be able to get back my money if I give it to you, Reuven? And therefore, we have Takonas Ashuk. And therefore, Reuven, you want your item back, you pay me for it, and then you go find the Ganav. Here, where Chonon Bisha is the type, you're not going to be able to, Beis Din is not going to be able to force him to pay, so therefore, you're not going to be able to take him to Beis Din in the first place, because he's a violent guy, then therefore, it's the equivalent of Loi Hukar Ganav. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, im ganav mefursim hu. Now, if the guy is a well-known ganav, and it's well-known that he steals, and therefore that and therefore there's a high likelihood that whatever you buy from him is stolen goods, loy also by takonas hashuk. Then takonas hashuk doesn't apply, and if the original owner comes, then you have to give him the item for free, and then you're going to, and then if you want your money back, take the ganav to Beis Din, because that's your problem. You knew he was a ganav mefursim. What are you doing buying from him in the first place? So the question is, Chonan Bisha, the Mefursim Abba, what do you mean? This case of Chonan Bisha was a well-known guy, but also by Takonas Ashuk, and still Rav Huna applied Takonas Ashuk. The answer is, Nehid Mefursim Levishusa. He was known to be a bad guy. He was known to be a violent guy and whatever. Lignevusa Le Mefursim. Up to this point, he was not well-known to be a thief. So therefore, when the other guy bought from him, he had no way of knowing that Chonan had stolen this garment, and therefore Takonas Ashuk could apply. Okay. More dinim on the subject, Itmar, ganav pora b'choyve. What happens if the ganav stole the thing and used it to pay off a debt? So he previously owed money to somebody, and now he used this item to pay that off. Ganav pora b'hakeyve. We stole and used it to pay off a line of credit that he had at a store. Loy also by takonas hashuk. Takonas hashuk doesn't apply to such things. We say that the person he gave it to is going to have to give it back to the owner and then get reimbursed from the ganim. The amri, we tell them, look, loya daita dahanu yehivas lemidi. Look, to begin with, when you lent him money or you gave him credit at your store, you obviously weren't relying on this thing that he's going to stole. To that he's, you obviously weren't relying that, he, that on this thing that he that he's going to steal. So therefore, so it's different when you paid money for it, then you have to takonas hashuk, but here you didn't actually pay money for it. Another din, mashkanta, what about if the ganav used this item as collateral, as security for a debt? So it depends. Shravi mosin memeya, if it's worth 200 and he used it to borrow 100, also by takonas hashuk, then takonas hashuk does apply because now we can say the malva is relying on this thing. He didn't know that it was stolen at the time. He's obviously relying on it. It's regular. It's a normal thing to take a mashkin that's worth more than the loan so that you have a certainty that you're going to get back your loan. But shava b'shava, but if the mashkin is worth only exactly as much as the loan, then you have a machlokas. Then you have a machlokas whether there's takonas hashuk or not. Usually you don't lend money equal to the exact value of the mashkin. So therefore we can say that maybe the malva did not really, it was really that he trusted him. It's not really that he expected that he's going to collect out of the mashkin, because normally over time the mashkin depreciates or whatever, and not necessarily is it going to be worth the full amount. So therefore, he obviously, it's a matter of trusting him and not a matter of relying exclusively on the mashkin, and therefore takonas hashuk shouldn't apply. Mazutra says still takonas hashuk would apply over here. So v'hilchsa also by takonas hashuk is in parenthesis over here. Marshal takes it out because at the end the Gemara is going to say what the halacha is like in all these cases. What about Zvina Shava Bashava? What about if the Ganav sold the item to something else? So Shava Bashava, if he sold it for its exact value, also by Takonas Ashok, then Takonas Ashok applies because obviously the other guy meant to pay exclusively for this. Shava may have a masan. But if the other guy overpaid for it and it was worth 100 and he paid 200, then you also have a machlokas. Rav Shesha Samalei also by Takonas Ashok. Rav Shesha says Takonas Ashok does not apply even as far as the 100, because now we have to assume, obviously, the other 100 he gave him was not the value of the thing. It must have been a matana. The same way, the first 100 that he gave him also, we attribute to a matana, and therefore we'd say takonas hashuk doesn't apply. You want your money back, you're going to have to get it back from the ganav, but you're going to have to give it back to the original owner. Rava Amar, also by takonas hashuk. Rava says takonas hashuk will apply even for the whole value, the whole 200 that he got. So therefore, so now if Reuven wants to get his thing back, he's going to have to pay 200, and then he's going to have to go to the ganav, and he's going to have to go to the ganav and get reimbursed. And the Gemara says, because it's normal, sometimes people buy things for higher than the normal price. And the Gemara says, v'hilchasa b'kulu also by takonas hashuk. In all of the cases we mentioned so far, there is takonas hashuk, levarmi ganav apara b'choyve, ganav apara b'akefei, with the exception of the cases where he used it to pay off a previous loan or a line of credit in a store. There we don't say takonas hashuk, but all the other cases that we were talking about as far as a mashgun and as far as buying, etc., then all of them, the halacha would be that we do takonas hashuk, and the original owner is going to get it back only if he's willing to pay for it. Okay. The Gemara says, Avimi bar Nozi Chamur de Ravina, Avimi bar Nozi, who was the father-in-law of Ravina, have a masik bar who gavra abal zuzi. There was a person who owed him 4 zuz. Gonav glima. So that guy who owed Avimi the money stole a garment va'asya niyale, and he brought it to Avimi to pay off his debt. And Avimi, of course, didn't know that it was stolen. Asya niyale. Eventually, this guy came again to Avimi to borrow money again. And Avimi lent him another 4 zuz. And eventually, they found out this guy is a ganav. So now we're also like Ravina. So now Avimi came to Ravina for a din Torah. By the way, we said Avimi was Ravina's father-in-law. Usually a son-in-law can't judge a din Torah for his father-in-law, but there is a concept of kibluhu alehi where both sides accept that he can be a dayan, and that would be the case over here. So Omar, so Ravina tells him, kamoi ganav apora b'choyv. The first 4 zuz that you got from him for the garment, that's an example, like we said before, of ganav apora b'choyv. There's no takonas ashok, so you don't have to. So therefore, there's no takonas ashok. So you, the original, the guy who lent him money, don't have to give him anything for that. He doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't have to give you anything. Meaning, in other words, that again we have So the situation is that so you have the other guy, you have the original owner of the garment is Reuven over here, the ganav over here is Shimon, you Avimi are in the place of Levi, when it comes to the first 4 zuz, where you don't have to reimburse you don't have to reimburse anybody for the 4 zuz, because again that was ganav apor b'choyve loy also by takonas ashuk. So we say, in other words, that So no, he doesn't have to give you anything. Rather, you trusted him and you lent him money, obviously not expecting that he's going to steal something, and therefore you're not entitled to your 4 zuz back from him. But as far as the other 4 zuz, then there is takonas ashuk shkel zuzach b'hadur glimi. So you're entitled to demand from the owner of the garment, from Reuven, to the 4 zuz, and then give back the garment to him. But maskiflod of koyin, but of koyin asks on that the duma glima. Bahani Zuzi Kamoy Yavani Ale. Why? Maybe we can say that he gave him the garment just in payment for the original Zuz. So therefore that would be an example of Gono Potter Bachova, Gono Potter Bake. So fine, in that case, then he's not Avimi can't get his 4 Zuz back. But Abba Zuzi Basroi, Hey Muni Heime. But when it comes to the second 4 Zuz, we're saying that he trusted him. Maybe we don't say that. It's considered that there was a mashkin. So therefore, we should say it's the same as when he trusted him to begin with. So maybe there's no takonas ashok on either 4 zuz. So you're telling me, Ravina, that there should be, that he should be entitled to takonas ashok for the second 4 zuz, because after all, because there, in effect, the garment was a mashkin for it. But who says it was a mashkin? Maybe he trusted him in both cases to give him the money. So he galgal milsa motel kamed rabbahu. So the matter rolled on. Eventually, it reached rabbahu. Omer huchsa k'rav koyin, and rabbahu says yes. The halacha is like Rav Koyin. So therefore, so no, Avimi cannot. If Avimi wants his 8 zuz back, he's going to have to go to the gazlan. In neither case is he able to go to the nigzal. And the Gemara gives another example. Now, Shah Gon of Sifra, a person from Neresh, a place in Babel, once stole a sefer, Zabne la Papuna, he sold it to another yid from Papuna, Bitmonan Zuzi, he sold it for 80 Zuz. Also, Papuna, Zabne la Bamuchuza, the mayor of Esrin Zuzi. The fellow from Papuna went and sold it to another guy from Mechuza for 120 Zuz. So here, the guy from Neresh stands in the place of Shimon. He had stolen from Reuven, who's unnamed in the story. He sold it to Levi, and now we have Yehuda as well, where Yehuda bought it from Levi for an even higher price, for 120 zuz. Well, so if Hukar Aganev, eventually we find that this guy from Neresh was the ganav, and now the original owner wants to get his sefer back. What should happen is Reuven should have to go to the fellow from Mechuza and pay him 80 zuz for shokel sifra and get back his sefer. As far as the fellow from Mechuza he will go and get reimbursed the extra 40 zuz that he paid from the fellow from Papuna who sold it to him for 120. Meaning, in other words, that the whole concept of Takanas Ashuk only applies to the first Lekeach, to Levi, not to the Lekeach from the Lekeach, which would be in this case over here. So therefore, so the Bar Mechuza, Yehuda, is not going to be entitled to Takanas Ashuk to collect his whole 120 from the original owner. He can only collect 80 from the original owner. He can collect 80 from the original owner, but the rest, the extra amount that he paid, he's going to have to collect from the buyer in between. But maskif lo Rava, Rava asks why. Hashtalakeach v'ganav osre takana tashuk fakert. If you're saying that even he bought directly from the ganav, and still we apply takana tashuk because he couldn't have known lakeach milakeach miboya. How much more so if a lakeach bought from another lakeach? So of course there should be even more so takana tashuk. El amar Rava. So Rava says the other way around. Lazel Mori de Sifra of Yoiv Le Bam Chuzah may have Esther and Zuzi. No, the owner of the original owner, Ruven, should go and give the person from Mechuzah 120, which is how much he paid for it, the Shokel Sifre, and he'll get back a Sefer. The Lazel Mori de Sifra of Lishkal Aboyin Mipachuna, Utman and Minarshah. Now the owner himself, the original owner, Ruven, he wants his 120 back, which he just paid for it, so he'll get 40 from the fellow from Papuna, which is the 40 that that guy earned as profit on it, and 80 from the original ganav from Neresh, and that way, in other words, so we will apply to Takanas Ashuk over here, and we will say the original owner is going to have to first pay the person from Mechuzah the entire amount that he paid for it, and then he'll get reimbursed from the ganav and from the first lekeach the respective amounts, and that's how it is lahalach. Okay.